So today we continue our message on how faith works. Can you say that? Okay. Now, a quick recap on that message. So open your Bible to Hebrews 11:1. Just 5 minutes, I'll recap some of the important stuff we said last week. Very important. So, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 to 3. Like I was saying earlier, I don't preach for the sake of preaching. I don't have doctrine for the sake of having doctrine. Yeah? I preach and teach with a focus of result. If there's anything I'm preaching to you or teaching you, there is a reason why. Yeah? It's not just for the sake of it. In fact, the reason is connected to my vision and the vision of this church, which is to equip you to live victorious. Everything I'm teaching you, from faith to love to giving, is so that you live victoriously. Amen? Because the Bible says the word of God is quick and it is powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. What does it do? It has to divide. If you don't divide, you won't get it. You have to divide between soul and spirit, and between joints and marrows. And the word of God discerns the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Now, if you come to church and you find yourself feeling uncomfortable sometimes, that is okay. You must not feel totally comfortable in church. Because when the word of God confronts you, something must give way. And it's not going to be God. Now, if there is nothing to give way in your life, you have already become a God to yourself. Are you with me? So when you come to church and you feel uncomfortable, it's okay. That's how you change. Are you with me? Don't be annoyed that you feel uncomfortable. Don't be angry with Pastor Ben. Hallelujah. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to somebody. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 to 3. Hebrews 11, 1 to 3. Yes, who would like to read? Okay, Pastor Jimmy.
Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible.
Amen. Another way we started last, that to understand faith, you need to get it, you need to understand that everything you can see, including the beautiful sisters and the handsome men, the lovely babies, innocent babies actually, they are innocent. Everything you can see, which is physical matter, yeah, you can feel it, you can smell it, you can taste it, and what? Hear it, and you can see it. Yeah? All these things that we call tangible, they came from what cannot be seen. The Bible says that the worlds were framed by the word of God. That is the principle of faith. If you can just understand that everything that exists came into being by the word of God. Hallelujah. By the word of God. How powerful God is. Now, ask a question. You say, oh, but you said that God made everything. So who made God? You know the answer. God. That's the meaning of God. Who made God? God. God made everything. By definition, God. Yeah? Uncaused cost. Hallelujah. He dwells from everlasting to what? Everlasting. That's why he's God. Hallelujah. That's why he's God. He's the infinite source. Infinite. Hallelujah. He's way beyond us. He operates in a realm that is way beyond us. But when God wants to reach out to us, you know what he does? He will give you his word. Say to yourself, say the word. You see, the greatest revelation of God you can ever have in your life is not a vision. You know why? Because if it was a vision, you should have been having many visions. Because don't you think that God wants to reach to you? God has many things to tell you. If the best way that God wants to talk to you in your life is by vision, you should be having vision every day. If the best way that God wants to talk to you is by dreams, you should be dreaming what? Every moment. If the way that God wants to talk to you all the time is by a prophet, prophets should be visiting you every moment and you should be giving them honorarium every time. By the way, if you receive blessing from a man of God, it is scripturally, biblically right to extend blessing back to them. Otherwise, you are breaking the law of God. The Bible says that those who preach the gospel must also live by the gospel. A spiritual principle. Hallelujah. You're not wiser than God. Don't try. Are you with me? But the way God wants to reach to you, because he dwells in this realm that is beyond you, is through his word. So anytime God wants to change something in your life, he will give you what? His word. Because faith comes by what? Hearing. The moment you hear, you can begin to believe. Hallelujah. Let me also tell you the truth of the matter. Fear also comes by hearing. Are you with me? If the devil wants to operate in your life, he will send you false information. The moment you start to feed on it, something begins to disintegrate in your life. Imagine two people are getting on well, you know, they have a good relationship. A thought just comes to your mind. You think it's your thought, but it's not your thought, because it's not everything you think that is your thought. There are three sources of your thoughts. They could come from you, they could come from Satan, and they can come from God. All these three things, they have access to your mind. Satan will just come and say, that pastor, he doesn't really love you. You were not thinking about it before, yeah? But it just comes in one moment of carelessness. Now, if you start feeding on that, yeah, something starts changing. You start seeing the person differently. All the blessing that should come into your life through that person, you start doubting. And that devil will just cut you off on your blessing. Are you with me? Faith comes by hearing the word of God. So this is where I reason it. If God framed the whole world by his word, there is nothing impossible for God to do. Once I have access to the word, and I can begin to feed on it and pass it from... The problem is this. Many times, you let the word of God remain in your mind. It doesn't move to your heart or your spirit. Now, the word of God that will give you breakthrough is not the one in your mind. When it's in your mind, it's just intellectual activity. Yeah? It's as good as going for a lecture at the university. It's just intellectual what? Activity. It cannot deliver any result. The word of God in your head cannot deliver for you any supernatural result. That word of God has to move from your head. Because what's in your head? Where you reason. So if the word of God remains in your head, what will you do? You will keep reasoning about it. You may even enjoy the reasoning, but no result. If the word of God remains, the head is where you feel emotions, where you interpret emotions. So if the word of God remains in your head, your emotions have access to it. So if the word of God is telling you something and your emotions are telling you something, I say, look, I'm looking for reality now. This word means nothing to me. You know, what I'm passing through is greater than this one. Tell me something better. I'm passing through something, you're telling me, what do you mean? You know, but that word has to move to your heart. And how does the word move to your heart? Open it. You know, nothing can go into you open. Yeah? When your mind is closed, it's what? Closed. It can't help you. You come to church, but you're just practicing religion. Because the word of God is bouncing off your head. It's not entering your heart. But when you make up your mind that I'm ready, Lord, I'm ready for your word. I trust you. I was having a discussion with my wife this morning. I said that many times, if I asked you, if I came to you and say, Mira, you know, does God exist? You will say what? Yes. Do you believe that God exists? You will say what? Yes. But many times, there's a difference between what we say we believe and what we truly believe. For example, if I believe that God exists, it will change the way I live my life. Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That means that the day I start fearing God, it's not a fear of, you know, hiding under the table. It's a fear of reverence. It's actually, do you know the meaning of fear of the Lord? Fear of the Lord means I now come to that reality that God exists. That's the meaning. The fear of the Lord means I am living in the reality that God what exists. So for example, imagine I'm found in a place and I know that, you know, if I change some things, some figures, I will make cool £1,000. No one is watching me. Are you with me? No one. And in fact, I'm at a work that no one will catch me, maybe for the next 10 years. Maybe after 10, they may catch, but no one. You know, I believe in my head that God exists. But if I'm living in the reality that God exists, it doesn't matter. whether someone is watching me or not. Because if I'm living that reality, God is watching me and I'm conscious of it. So the fear of the Lord will not make me do it. Not because anybody will, not even because they will catch me. Are you with me? That's the meaning of God exists. And look at Hebrews 11:6. Open your Bible to Hebrews 11:6. Let's read it together. I'm just reminding you on faith and I will move on. Hebrews 11:6. We are dealing with faith here. And the Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for. Which basically means that faith is what delivers the results. Hallelujah. Hope is good. Please turn to somebody. Your neighbor, tell them hope is good. Tell them that it's not good to be hopeless. Hallelujah. And while we're there, I want to tell you something. Part of your job in life is to be a blessing. If you are walking through life, you come across people that are hopeless. Try to influence them for good. The Lord will reward you. Hallelujah. Don't just live for yourself. Don't just live for yourself, for your name, for your achievement. Yeah? Don't do a good thing so that others will praise you. Do the good thing that nobody can even reward you. Yeah? There are people that if you do just a little thing in their life, you may deliver them from depression. Some people, you may deliver them from suicide just by getting involved in their life. That is part of why you are in this world. To make a difference to some other life. Hallelujah. Now, when we talk about serving God, it's not just like in church. We don't come to church to serve God. We come to church to reload, to refire. So that we now go into that world and influence lives. That is where you serve God out there. Hallelujah. You influence lives out there. And John 15:8 says, he said, this is how my Father is glorified. That you should bear much fruit. Hallelujah. Hebrews 11:6. Let's read together. Everybody read from your Bible. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Are you there? Okay. 1, 2, let's go. Let's make a noise. Go. Amen. Hallelujah. Mira. Hallelujah. You see, your faith is dead on arrival if you don't live in the reality of who God is. Hallelujah. You may make the mouth and make the noise. I have met many people that say they believe in God. You know, in this part of the world, we talk about, you know, people not believing in God. But from the part of the world I was born, yeah, the average person, even the criminal and the murderer, they believe in God. Some of them even know all the songs in church. Do you understand me? That type of faith cannot save them. Hallelujah. It's empty religion. Empty religion cannot save you. And don't deceive yourself. Hallelujah. You must live in the reality that God exists. That's the foundation of your faith. God what? Exists. I must live in his presence. Under the consciousness of the fear of the Lord that God exists. Everything I say, everything I do must be with the consciousness that what? God is real. God is so real that he's next to me. Hallelujah. I don't want to do anything I will not do if Jesus is standing by me. That's the meaning of God exists. Hallelujah. Yeah, let's assume that I'm at home with my wife and we're having a very nice meal which is cooked. And then suddenly, you know, something occurred and I remember something. I started having an argument. You know, arguments can happen. Hello? I don't know why I'm saying that for somebody's benefit. It's not that it's not in my sermon. Are you with me? And the argument blows up. But you remember that God exists. Hallelujah. You remember that Jesus is there. And like my wife usually tells the children, say, what would Jesus do? Hallelujah. That's how you have to live your life. Don't ever open your mouth and say you are not Jesus. That's what you are called to be. You are called to be conformed to the image of the Son. Hallelujah. So you remember that God exists. So not for their sake, but for the sake of Jesus. Hallelujah. For the sake of who? Jesus. Always remember that. Sometimes when you have been pushed to the wall, remember, for the sake of Jesus, you will not follow your emotions. You will do what is right all the time. Hallelujah. Your emotions, as I was reading the book, they are immature. You know, like when we want to have a vote, elections. Do we allow children to vote? Somebody tell me why. Why don't we allow children to vote in an election? Let's take two answers. Yes. Sorry. Why don't we allow children to vote in elections?
Because they are easily influenced by food.
Because they are...
Okay, on a serious note, because they are immature.
Yeah, because they are easily influenced by food. Is that what he said? Yeah? I like that. Yes, Daddy. Why don't we allow children to vote in elections? After all, let me just make the point. They are legitimate human beings. They have their own independent will, independent spirit, mind, emotions, whatever. They have an independent name. You know, they're part of the population. Why don't we allow them to vote? Is it fair?
Start from immaturity, and then they cannot make their mind of what to do.
They are immature. They cannot make up their mind. They could. I see some very resolute children, but they can be resolute about the wrong things. Yeah? Yeah, yes?
It's likely that their decisions are somebody else's decisions.
Yes, because they are easily influenced.
Voting for
yes.
Someone.
Come back to the point. They are easily influenced. Any other type of answer? Yes? Let's take two more. Because what?
They are minors.
You know, what you say they are minors? They are not major. They are not yet. Right, they are minors. Yes, one more answer. Why don't we allow children to vote?
Their minds haven't caught up in the reality of life. Like, they still live in a fantasy.
They're what?
They're
still living in...
Their minds haven't grasped the reality of life. They still live in a fantasy world.
They are still living in a fantasy world. Yeah, you're just making that point again. I will emphasize it. They are not mature enough to make... They can make their own decisions. It's just that they can't make the... They are not mature enough to make the right decision. Yeah? That actually is their own real decisions. Which comes back to that they are easily influenced. Now, why I ask that question is to make you understand that your emotions are children. Your emotions, they are what? They are children. They are immature. You cannot predict them. They come at you anyhow they want. Are you with me? They come at you anyhow. You wake up one morning, you may feel very cool, happy. You wake up another morning, you may not. You wake up one morning, you may feel very nice, and then within 1 hour, you don't feel as nice. And it's not even, you've not interacted with anybody. Yeah? Emotions are not predictable. When I say emotions, another word for it is your feelings. Your feelings can change ever so often. That is why you cannot allow your feelings to dictate how you live your life. Hallelujah. You cannot allow your feelings. Of course, your feelings are good. That's good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you live with the consciousness that God exists, you do things not by your feeling. You do it by faith. Yeah? Based on truth. Hallelujah. The Bible says that the just shall live. How? By faith. Not by your feelings. Not by what you see, but by what? By faith. Amen? And anyone who is coming to God must believe that God exists. You see, the moment I begin to be conscious that God is so real, He is actually right in my situation, I can reach out to Him and retrieve that blessing. Hallelujah? Because His realness has come to me. Hallelujah? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anybody that comes to God must believe that God is real. God is for real. Because if God is for real, it changes the way I live my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's a foundation of faith. God is for real. That means when I'm in trouble and I know that God is for real, I can reach out with confidence. Hallelujah. Now, when things happen, it's likely that you first react with your emotions. But remember this, and we said this at Home Fellowship. God does not answer your prayer because of your emotion. If you like, cry from now till next year. That's not why God will answer your prayer. Hallelujah. God does not answer your prayer because you threatened Him. Say, God, if you don't answer your prayer, I will not talk to you for 1 year. Okay? You were not even talking to him before anyway. So he wouldn't miss you much. God answers your prayer because of faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the foundation of faith is the fear of the Lord. Another other word for that is humility, repentance, a humble heart, a broken and contrite spirit. Yeah? Because that's the conscience that you know you are putting God in his place. When you come like that, your prayer is about to be answered. Hallelujah. You remember the story of the two thieves on the cross? They were murderers, two murderers on the cross, one on the left and one on the right. Yeah? And one said, "Oh, if you are the Messiah," he threatened him. That guy was feeling very emotional. He was about to die. I don't know if you got the story. There was this murderer on the one side of Jesus. He was about to die. So he threatened him. So let's not just misunderstand. He must have just, you know, he's a thief. He has calculated, what can I get this man to do something? You know, he said, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. He threatened. He said, if you are the Messiah, calm down. Listen to what he said. Save yourself and save us too. Was he looking for salvation? Yes, but in the wrong way. If you are the Messiah, calm down now. Save and save us. Did God answer that prayer? The other murderer on the other side, what did he say? He said, "Lord." Yeah, I'm nothing. In fact, before he did that, he first rebuked the other one. He said, "We are here. What we are here, we deserve what we got. This man does not deserve." So he recognized that I'm a sinner. Yes. By confession. By confession, he recognized that he was a sinner. He said, "We deserve what we are getting." Can you see that humility? So he first recognized who he was. He did not deny. Then I said, "Lord." That's a prayer for salvation. When you come into your kingdom, remember me. Did that prayer get answered? Yes. Absolutely. In fact, it got answered immediately because Jesus said, "Today." Everybody say today. Today. See, faith is today. Faith is not tomorrow. Faith is where? Today. Hallelujah. Faith is what? Now. Faith is now. Hope is future. But faith is what? Now. And like we said last week, it is faith that delivers to you the realities of heaven. You see, if all your Christianity is "I'm going to heaven," that's good. But it's what, as though that you're just looking for a pie. You're waiting for the pie in the sky. You understand? That when I die, let's just manage and suffer. And then when we die, we go to what? Heaven. Then the problem is that you never really lived. See what I mean? That's not God's plan. If God wants you to live like that, he will kill you if you got born again. So that you can go as fast as possible. Are you listening? God has left you here because he wants you to live a life. He's interested in the quality of life you live. He's interested in the type of life you live. And most importantly, he's interested that you bear fruit and that your fruit abide. Hallelujah. So the realities of that heaven you are planning to go, you can begin to enjoy now on earth, but that only comes from faith. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for. Can we say that together? Say faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Amen. Now I believe I've reviewed faith enough. So let's advance, let's progress. So question. Does God answer every prayer? Let's take three answers. Hello? Does God answer every prayer? Shall I make the life difficult? He said, "Call upon me, and I will, in the day of trouble, and I will answer you." Yeah? So I just complicated your life. Does God answer every prayer? Of course, you tell us the reason. Yeah.
God answer every prayer. It's either yes, no, or wait. So he does answer prayer.
You see, that's the proven answer. I say God answers every prayer. It's either yes, no, or wait. Okay, let's have some other answers. Yes, I'm looking for something. When I'm looking for more, I'm looking for more. You know, more, a different shade. Yeah.
answers every prayer. I think he answers prayers that's in line with his will.
Okay, so God doesn't answer every prayer. He only answers prayers that are in line with his will. Yes? Let's have one more. Does God answer every prayer? Let's remember the answer first. He answers, he said, yes, no, or wait. And to me, that's a general scope, which is good. It's good to know that. Yeah? But now we're going specific, not every prayer in terms of a yes. Am I right? Yeah. Okay, go on. Last answer.
I would have to agree with Sister Pamela there, but if I just, God answers every prayer, but
okay, see, prayer, those some prayers will conflict, so we can say, we say yes to some and no to some, because some might conflict, so it makes sense for him not to, get some of our prayers answered.
Emphasize those points before we open the Bible. So, can we just summarize them? God does not give a yes to every prayer. It's important you know that. Hallelujah. God does not say yes to every prayer. Don't forget it. It's your first lesson on prayer. Do not say yes to every prayer. Hallelujah. But because of scriptures like, call upon me in the day of trouble and I will answer you. Call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things. It looks to me that God is interested in answering your prayers with a yes. But for that to happen, there are conditions to be met. So say to yourself, say prayer. Answered prayer is conditional. Just like every other thing that happened in the Bible. We'll show you from the word, of course. We show you from the word. Before we go there, I just want to explain something to you. We said this is own fellowship. You see, the value of your life is this. Your life on earth, yeah, is a matter of choices. And I want you to understand that your living on this earth, yeah, is the opportunity that God gives you to for you to personally shape your eternity individually. The reason why you are alive is not only because of your family and your job, your education, your degree, your ambition, your investment, and that. All those are the other things. Are you listening to me? Yeah? But the primary reason you are living is that God is, He has put your eternity into your hand. And say, you make the choices that will shape your eternity. And tell you something, every choice you make on earth will shape your eternity. Hallelujah. Of course, you can make wrong choices and repent of them, and God will forgive you. But you've lost that portion from your eternity. He can't credit it to you. Hello, are you listening to me? If you spend all your life making mistakes, and you spend all your life repenting, God will forgive you. But every time you did that, those portions of your life are wiped off from your eternity. Like you never lived those times. Are you with me? But every choice you make right, and everything did right, that is God, is adding to your eternity. Now, let me tell you something. The Bible says, Hebrews 9:27, it says, it's appointed to men to die once, and after that, the judgment. The moment you are dead, your ability to make choices is over. You can't make any choice again. The choice you made before will now make you. Are you with me? So let us live our life with that consciousness, that you have to make the most of your life while it counts, while it matters. Amen? Let's go to 1 John chapter 5. Does God answer every prayer? 1 John. Please, this is a very important message on faith. You need to get it. If you didn't get any other thing today, get this one. Because the goal of this message is not just to excite you. You see, I don't like to excite you. I could. It's just my decision that's not what God has called me to do. My job is to equip, not to excite. To equip. When I equip you, you can go out there and live victoriously. You can function. Thank you, Samir. You can what? Function. But when I excite you, yeah? It's like you lick ice cream. Yeah? You enjoy it, but it doesn't make any difference. Yeah? To your health. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. Sister Claudia, are you still there? 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. You read it last week, so that's what I'm bringing back to you. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. Please follow in your Bible. Why she reads.
And this is the confidence that we have in him,
that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us.
Are you following that? Now listen to this. There is a condition that we even decide whether God will hear your prayer or not. Let me prove it to you. Psalm 66 verse 18. You don't need to open up. Psalm 66 verse 18. You can write it down. It says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. He will not hear. I don't know if you got me. Let's say that again. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not what? Hear me. Now please understand. There's a difference between doing something wrong or sinning and regarding iniquity. Like I told you, I don't want to lie. Nobody has to help me. I'm a born again. I don't want to. It's not my desire to lie or to steal or to cheat. If it ever happens, yes, I fell to it, but it's not my original desire. I do not regard iniquity in my heart. I told you I'm a saint. Hallelujah. But a saint may sin sometimes. And a sinner may do good things sometimes. It doesn't change their status. Hallelujah. A saint is born again. A sinner is not. Because you are born again, you have a desire to do God's will. But you may not always do it because you are in the flesh. Are you with me? You may fall and falter. But something has changed inside that desire to do God's will. That's why you are a saint. Say to yourself, say, if you are a saint, say I'm a saint. And if you're a sinner, say I'm a sinner. Hallelujah. It's good to know who you are so that you can change. Are you with me? So if I regard iniquity in my heart, that is, I exalt iniquity. I cherish iniquity. I cherish what is wrong. I do it. I want to do it again. I'm enjoying it. I'm boasting about it. He said, the Lord will not hear me. Are you with me? That's why when God convicts you of something you've done wrong, even if you repent. I know it's controversial, but let me tell you something. It's better you repent 1,000 times than you don't repent. Every time you repent, still humbling yourself before God and saying, I don't want to do this. Hallelujah. And those who humble themselves, they will receive grace. Hallelujah. Don't let the devil confuse you or convict you and say maybe because you have a weakness in life. Something that you are doing, you shouldn't do, but you are repeating it. The devil tells you you are a child of God. Hallelujah. That's not what God. What makes you a child of God is because you have received Jesus into your life. You have made him the Lord and Savior. Yeah, the Bible says, as you read in 1 John, it said, he who has the Son. We ready? Let's look at it. Because if you don't understand it, you can't get faith. If you don't have confidence in who you are, how can you be confident in praying? 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. Read what? Let's read that again. No, verse 11 and 12. Yes, 1 John 5, 11 and 12. Sister Claire, let me just get someone else. I'll come back to you. 1 John 5, 11 and 12. Yes. Who would like to read? 1 John 5, 11 and 12.
Boy replied, the man who told me, pick up your mat and walk.
No. 1 John, not John. 1 John. So that's later on. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 and 12. 1 John. Or 1 John.
Okay. And this is what God has testified. He has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son.
Thank you. So, please don't misunderstand it. The eternal life is where? In the Son. Is there any other place? Any other religion? Any other way? Where? Is it in your goodness? Where is it? In the Son.
Whoever has the Son
has whoever life. Has the Son has life. Yes?
Whoever does not have God.
And whoever does not have the Son. Doesn't matter how much you love like them. Yes, go on.
Does not have life.
Does not have life. That's okay. That's okay. Brother, that's okay. Hallelujah. So you know that because you have the Son, you have life. Say to yourself this confession. Say, I have the Son living in me. It didn't happen automatically. I know I received him. Every day I continue to make that conscious decision that I want you, the Son. Hallelujah. And say, they say, because I have the Son living in me, I have life. You see that? Once you can know that, you're already on your way to living by faith. Because now you know you are located. devil comes from here to accuse you. He says, I've repented and I'm not going to do it again. Of course, if you have repented and you are planning to do it again, you are not truly repented. I'm not saying you will not do what you have repented of again. You may, because of weakness. But you are not planning to do it. You don't want to do it. That's true repentance. Yeah? Anything you are still planning to do, you have not repented. You're just trying to trick, and you can't trick it because he saw your heart. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. So, God does not hear every prayer. The prayer that God hears is the one you pray in accordance with his will. Okay? So, for the next 5 minutes, I want to quickly summarize for you the will of God. I'll show you 3 places in the Bible for the will of God. We'll round up. Now, usually what happens is that when you read this type of prayer, you may get afraid and say, oh, if I don't know God's will, no answer. Then that's why some people pray and say, Father, if it is your will, heal my daughter. So if the daughter doesn't get healed, it wasn't God's will. Is that what we conclude? You got me? God does not want to you normally by events. The reason why God speaks to you through events and circumstances is either due to your immaturity or your disobedience. The primary way that God wants to speak to you is through his word and his spirit. Get that again. You know, sometimes you say, oh, Lord, if it's your will, let this one happen. If not your will, that's a secondary way that God wants to speak to you. Remember, God is a spirit. And you are a spirit. Because God is the father of spirits. You are one of his children. The primary way that God wants to speak to you is where? Directly. Through his word and his spirit. God does not primarily want to speak to you through events and circumstances. He can. But usually when God is speaking to you through events and circumstances, you have missed the first way that God wanted to speak to you, which is through his word and his spirit. Hallelujah. And that is usually due to immaturity or disobedience. Are you with me? So the best way to hear from God is directly through his word and through what? The Holy Spirit in you. How does the Holy Spirit speak to you? Through your conscience. And the Holy Spirit will never tell you something that is against the written word of God. Hallelujah. If he's saying it, it's not the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? Because the word and the spirit agree. Hallelujah. So, how do we know God's will? This is God's will. Anything I can find in this word is what? That God has said or given is what? God's will. I can lay hold on it. It's called epilambalon. That's the Greek word. You lay hold. If you want to overcome in life, you have to learn to have epilambalon. You lay hold. If you can't lay hold, sorry for you. God does not stop loving you, but God is not pleased without faith. You got it? What can please God? It's not because God loves you. God loves you, but he also loves the sinner. Did you know that? Did you know that God loved the whole world and he gave his only son? And he still loves them? Hallelujah. The reason why you feel that God loves you more than the sinner is because you have received his love. Hallelujah. Are you with me? You've received his love. Now you know that he loves you. The sinner does not know. Hallelujah. It's your faith. So you lay hold on the word concerning your situation. And you don't let go. You lay hold. You confess it. You claim it. You say it. You repeat it in the face of all opposition. Until it comes true. Hallelujah. Open to John 17. Let's go to verse 17. John chapter 17, verse 17. That's the secret of victorious living. You lay hold on the word. Because by faith we understand that the words were framed by the word of God. So that what is seen came out of what cannot be seen. Hallelujah. John 17, 17, what does it say? I'll read it for you. He said, are you there? Let me give Sister Kemi to read. John 17, 17.
It reads, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth.
You see that? We were saying this last week. That all your facts are temporary. They will change. Fast change all the time. Yeah? Fast change all the time. I mean, 2-3 years time, Brother Fernando may decide to change his hair cut and gold skin. Christo may not like it, but he may decide. No matter, even if she opposes after a while, she will learn to love. Are you with me? Facts change all the time. Some people are sick today, they're in the hospital. By next week, they may be out. Facts change all the time. So you can't build your life just on facts. Disappoint. But truth never changes. And truth is the word of God. So if God has revealed you a truth, you can epilambalo it. Lay hold on it until your facts conform. Because that was facts are supposed to conform to the truth. Hallelujah. The real reality is not fact, it's truth. Because Bible says, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 18. Open. Let's do some scripture juggling. 2 Corinthians 4, 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. And finally from there, I will land you into 3 John 2, and then we'll finish. 2 Corinthians 4, 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. Yes, someone was not read today. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18.
Yes. Why we look not at the things which are seen,
yes,
but at the things which are not seen.
Why?
For the things which are seen
are what?
Are temporary.
They are temporary. Yes?
But the things which are not seen
are eternal. Hallelujah. All the things that are seen that are shaking you from left and right, turn around, look back, left front, right front, they are temporary. But the word of God, I would say it lives and abides forever. So if I find the truth in God's word, I lay hold on it.
Yeah.
Until it becomes my reality. Hallelujah. Listen to that. If I find the truth in God's word, my job as a believer, why am I called a believer? I lay hold on that truth until it becomes what? My reality. That is faith. Hallelujah. So finally, because we say that God only hears prayers that are in accordance with his will, it would not be nice to finish this sermon without explaining to you what the general will of God is. Because if you don't know the general will of God, you're in big trouble. When you go to prayer, you will just pray and hope that God answers. You will hope because you don't know the general will of God. But the moment you can know the general will of God, you can approach with confidence. Hallelujah. And the best confidence in prayer is when you know. Imagine. I know my prayers get answered. I can tell you. My prayers what? Get answered. And I want to know if your prayers get answered. Check the percentage of your prayers that get through with a yes. Yeah, you say yes, no, or wait. If you are still on 50%, it's as good as statistical error. You know, like if you throw a dice, it's either what? Heads or tails. So are you sure that it's not chance? But if your prayers are getting answered 80%, 85%, you're scoring distinction in your prayer, then your prayers are what? Effective. Hallelujah. And that's where God wants you to be. Because if we pray in accordance with his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, then we are certain that we have received what? The petitions that we have desired of him. Amen? Before we open 3 John 2, and for Mirabel, you read 3 John 2. I just remember one more. John 15, 8. Open John 15, 8. John 15, 7 and 8. Someone read John 15, 7 and 8. John 15. Someone who has not read today. John 15, 7 and 8. John 15, 7 and 8. Yes, Fernando. John 15, 7 and 8. Please open it. I'm trying to show you the secret of getting your prayers answered. No, sorry, sister. Sorry. Sorry. Go on.
Yes, amen. John 15, 7, 8. But if you remain in me and my words remain in
you. If you remain in me and my words remain where? Where part of you? In your spirit. In your heart. Not in your head. Where? In your heart. What will happen? Listen very carefully. Sister Claudia, are you still there with me? Listen, that one, this is a revelation here. Yes, go on.
But if you remain in me
and my words remain, what will happen?
You, you may ask for anything you want.
You will ask for what?
Anything you want.
How many things? Any. Some other version says, whatever you will. And then?
And it will be granted.
Please, just read verse 8 for completion.
When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples.
Amen.
This brings
great joy,
glory
to my Father. Amen. You see, the Father has great joy in answering your prayers. It's just that you need pray, yeah, in accordance with His will. Hallelujah. He said, if you remain in me, that is, you are in good relationship with God. You know, you're abiding in Him. You maintain that fellowship and communion with Him. It doesn't mean you're perfect. Don't misunderstand me. Your faith is intact and you're living it. It's not that maybe, you know, you're never in church. You're never, you know, when they are calling gospel, you're not there. You're not living, remaining in Him. You are going your own way. But if you remain in Him, then another condition is that if my words are in you, you can ask whatever you will. Let me explain to you. You see, when God's words are in you, you're not going to ask to claim another person's wife. Because His word is in you. You know what the word said. Hallelujah. If God's word is in me and I'm feeling sick, and I remember the words, by His stripes I am healed. That word is in me. The first thing that will come to my mind is, for example, Friday evening, my son came home, first son, and I saw his face. I knew this boy is not okay. He just went to lie that it was not okay. He was feeling sick. But the first reaction that comes to my mind is not paracetamol. I'm not saying you shouldn't. I gave him later, but that's not the first thing. The first reaction that comes to my mind is to lay out and rebuke that devil called sickness. Are you listening to me? Because that's what the word in me tells me to do. Hallelujah. And he had the exam on Saturday. Saturday morning, he woke up, he looked better, but I knew he was not still okay. I gave him that medicine again of the word. Hallelujah. Imagine no word. We may even have to cancel the exam. Not talk of him passing it and making a distinction. He said, if my words remain in you, you can ask whatever you will. Why? Because you already know what the word has told you about that thing. You are confident. Because if God has promised you something in His word, believe me, it will not change His mind. That's what they call it. God is immutable. He doesn't change His mind. His word is forever. Hallelujah. Okay, finally, let's look at the will of God and we stop there. 3 John 2. 3 John 2, anybody? 3 John 2. 3 John 2. That's the last one now. I want to just tell you the will of God today. 3 John 2. Yes? The third letter of John. Verse 2. I thought you want to, but there's no other verse. So it's just John verse 2. Yes?
Beloved.
Beloved!
I wish above all things.
I'm in a hurry to go home.
That thou mayest.
But I want to tell you something. Above everything, this is God's will for you. Yes, read it.
I wish above all things that thou may prosper,
you will and, prosper
be in health,
and be in health.
Even as thy soul prospers.
Even as your soul prosper. I want to settle once and for all. Now that's how God thinks about you. I can show you many other scriptures. He said, the thoughts I think towards you, they are thoughts of peace and not of destruction, to give you a future and a hope. Hallelujah. He said, I wish above all things that you will prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. I want to give you 2 points, and then let me read. I want to say it the way I meant to say it. Are you with me? You see, God doesn't want you to be poor, wretched, sick, afflicted, oppressed. That is never God's will for you. It may happen due to your immaturity or your disobedience, but it's not God's will for you. Are you with me? Don't ever doubt it. Hallelujah. Don't ever what? Doubt it. Secondly, let's read that again. Neither does God want you to be sinful, worldly, proud, selfish, covetous, stingy, lukewarm, rebellious, disobedient, and unfruitful. It's never God's will for you. Hallelujah. It never. So, how to interpret it is simple. Physical prosperity is important. Spiritual prosperity is also what? Important. Now, listen to this. Some people, they say all they want is spiritual prosperity and they don't care if they are poor. They make it to heaven. You know, they will make it, but like I said, they will never live the fullness of their destiny because they've limited one part of what God wants to do in their life. It's not God's fault. They didn't have faith. Now, some people, all they want is physical prosperity. They are not interested in any relationship with God. They are not interested in loving God. They are not interested in serving God. All they want is physical prosperity. You know what John 3 is saying? He said your physical prosperity should overflow from your spiritual prosperity. He said that you may prosper and be in health even as. Hallelujah. Even as. That means that the first prosperity that God wants you to do is to prosper in your spirit. Hallelujah. For your spirit to be full of light, righteousness and peace and joy. Now, when you have that, it should overflow. If it's not overflowing, there's a problem. When your spirit is truly prospering, the proof is an overflow into your body and into your finance and into your affairs. Hallelujah. A spirit that is truly prospering will overflow into the physical. Because the spiritual is the real deal. And if it's right in the spirit, it's got to be right in the physical. Are you getting me? So God's will for you is that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prosper. Let's pray.